Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
A trade between the 49ers and the Steelers involving Brandon Ayuk is not official yet. But Ayuk is not expected to play for the 49ers this season. He's expected to get traded. We will discuss that and more next on Cone & Kruger. Welcome to Cone & Kruger. That's Larry Kruger. I'm Grant Cone. Let's catch you up real quick and then get Larry's take for the next hour. This is serious. So a couple of hours ago, Cam Marino came out and said, getting traded. Ayuk to Steelers. Then Pretty Ricky, who everyone knows by now, says, absolutely it's happening. He's going to the Steelers. We're all waiting for the big reporters, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, and they say it's not, nothing's in place. Nothing's official. But they're all kind of saying like, it's very fluid though, and he's not expected to play for the 49ers. More likely he gets traded than he plays for the 49ers this year. Feels like it's a matter of time to me. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah. I've been saying this for a while that I really think that a trade of Ayuk is very, very viable because I think the 49ers are in a very unique situation. They are paying Brock Purdy probably 60 times what they're paying him this year, next year. And that's the biggest jump probably in the history of the cap. So they're in a very dire situation. They run the ball a ton. They've got all kinds of weapons. Heck, you and I just saw the list of the NFL top 100. The Niners have almost 25% of the top 30 players in the league are on the Niners roster. And there's 32 teams in the league. So they're stacked, and that really explains why they've got cap issues and you can't pay everybody. And obviously, somewhere along the line, Grant, not today, not yesterday, we're talking about offseason, maybe right after the Super Bowl, maybe before, they decided that they weren't going to pay Brandon Ayuk. And then it was just a matter of, will he come back at our price? Can we get him on the fifth-year option? And I think that things have kind of tumbled out of control I just think that they didn't want to pay him. And that's what Pearsall's about. That's what Cowing's about. That's what this incredible depth of wide receivers is about.
I also think he wore out his welcome. I think they were willing to pay him in March and April. But all the little social media digs that he took at the team. Oh, the phone. Oh, I'm not answering the phone. Like little things like that. And then going on the pivot with Jaden Daniels and really talking him up instead of Brock and building the case for himself at the expense of Debo. I mean, he really called Debo like not a real wide receiver without using his name. I think it's what I noticed at camp, your camp. Ayuk stands there by himself when he comes to practice. Sometimes Hufanga will sit next to him. But essentially, he's there by himself, and he's making no effort to, like, walk over to the team. 2 years ago, when Debo was holding in, he was with his teammates. This feels really different. It feels a little bit to me like the team is like, you know what, Brandon? We don't want you. You want to go somewhere? You want to trade? Fine. We'll freaking do it.
It's unfortunate, too, because I think this is a really good teammate who blocked, who's not a diva. Grant, we're in the locker room every game, after every game. This guy does not hold court in front of his locker saying, damn everybody else and get me the damn ball. He's not like that. He's a team guy. But I don't even think it's personal. I do think when he said, you know, Jaden Daniels is going to help me take my game to the next level, I thought that was really disrespectful to Brock
Purdy. Super disrespectful.
A rookie is really going to step in. And he's going to be way better than a guy that was like second or third in the MVP voting last year. I didn't love that. I haven't talked to you since the handshake at practice the other day, but when Lynch shook his hand like that, it looked cold to me. It did not look like I'm shaking the hand of a guy who I'm signing to one of the biggest contracts I've ever inked anybody to, who's going to be a key foundation piece in our efforts to win the Super Bowl for the going forward. And I just gave him a quick handshake and a turn away. That seemed to me, based on what I know about John Lynch, to be like, I respect you as a player, but I'm a little pissed off. And he kind of gave him the pissed off quick handshake. That was my read on it.
I saw it the same exact way. There was not any affection between Ayuk and Lynch in that handshake. Look, the way I see it is, I think what we're waiting on is the Steelers and the 49ers to figure out exactly what the trade compensation is. But I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to take that long because, again, I don't think the Niners want Ayuk anymore. I think they're over it. I think they feel like he would be beyond a malcontent and he would bring the team down in the locker room. Ayuk doesn't want to go to Cleveland. If he wants to go to Pittsburgh, then I think that's where he has to end up if the Niners feel like they'd be better off without him. So now they just have to figure out what it's going to be, and Ayuk has to work out an extension with Pittsburgh. I've seen speculation online that the trade compensation could include James Daniels starting right guard for Pittsburgh. I mean, the Niners need a right guard. Feliciano's been hurt, and he's an expiring contract. So that's an interesting place for this to start.
Yeah, and I think you said it to me in the media room today and we were just kind of spitballing on what could be going on here, but that maybe he said, I want to be traded. And they said, okay, Cleveland he wanted to go to Washington or Pittsburgh, but they said, how about Cleveland or New England? And then he at that point was like, well, wait a second. I don't want to go to Cleveland. I don't want to go to New England. And I'm bringing this up. And you said that today, that maybe they said to him, hey, Cleveland or New England or our price. And he's not happy with Cleveland or New England or the Niner playing on the Niners price. And then Mayoko said, later today, he said, I think Brandon is having a difficult time figuring out exactly what he wants, that he may have requested a trade without actually wanting a trade. So that will be interesting, too. I mean, they can trade him and say they're giving him what he wants, but it sounds like he may have said, trade me here or there, but not there or there.
Agreed. And
the Niners want to trade
him. Washington or Pittsburgh. And right. It seems like the reason he wants Washington is because of Jaden Daniels, his friend, the quarterback. And the reason he likes Pittsburgh is because of
Tomlin,
Justin maybe. Fields. No, because of Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is one of the most popular coaches in the league. And I do think he's like, if you don't like Kyle Shanahan, then the other side of the spectrum is Mike Tomlin. He's a lot more of like a player's coach. He won't be negative. He won't put you in the doghouse. He'll be supportive. So I could see why Ayuk would want to play for him. But why would you want to play with Russell Wilson now? What? Are you kidding?
Well, and New England post Brady and Belichick is Siberia. That's NFL Siberia.
Worst team in the league.
Pittsburgh hasn't won a playoff game in 5 years. So he probably helps them, you know, get that done. But then, when you talk about the Steelers, it sounds like, well, the other thing I heard I couldn't believe, which was that Ayuk's maybe going to give the Steelers a discount. So you're going to give the Steelers a discount, but you wouldn't give the Niners. You went on the Pivot podcast and told those guys that, hell no, you're not giving the Niners hometown discount, but then the Steelers are getting a discount. That makes me wonder if he just wants out, you know, if he just doesn't want to be here. I mean, maybe it's gotten personal with Shanahan and we don't really realize it.
Or maybe what he wants is just to be featured in an offense. Maybe, I mean, like, money's great, but maybe what he wants is the validation of being the number one option on a team. And I don't know. At the same time, like, I understand why he wouldn't want to go to Cleveland. I don't think playing with Deshaun Watson is the move. And not just because of his not so personal life, but it seems like he's lost 100% of his confidence and is no longer a good quarterback. So I could see being like, no, absolutely not. No. I would say no if I were him. On Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, Cleveland, really? I mean, they already have a bevy of big name receivers that, you know, they're not winning with. They've already got a quarterback. They got a weird quarterback situation. Flacco just played great. Now he's gone. Deshaun Watson makes a ton and he's not worth it. So that situation is really iffy. I will say this though, you know, the James Daniels thing is interesting. And I, you know, just speculating at what the Niners could get. You know, it's not going to be, I mean, it might be James Daniels and a pick. It could be James Daniels and another player and a pick. I do think that if the Niners could get James Daniels, who I think is a pretty good interior offensive lineman, he's only 26, played at Iowa, good center there, started with Chicago. He's been hurt, had some injuries. But if you could get James Daniels and one of their two outside rush guys, Alex Highsmith or maybe Nick Herbig, who played at Wisconsin, maybe you get one of those two guys and maybe a day two or day three pick, like around three or four pick, maybe a conditional, something like that. I think that is what, I mean, like you said to me right now, what do the Niners really need? They want to win the Super Bowl. What do they need? Well, I've been at practice every day. I think they need another defensive end in the worst way. And I think
they always need O-line. I mean, they always need O-line.
Dominic Pooney is a nice prospect, but he's starting right now at right guard with no other backup. James Daniels would put Pooney on the bench,
right,
or in a more developmental role. Daniels would start at right guard. But a guy like Alex Highsmith or Nick Herbig is really necessary with Drake Jackson being kind of, I don't think you can expect to get anything out of Drake Jackson. So the Niners, are down a defensive end and some offensive line talent. If they could get either Herbig or Highsmith, James Daniels, and a conditional day two, day three pick, round three, round four, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. And to me, I think that I wouldn't be thrilled with it. I know a lot of Niner fans will be pissed, but I could understand it and I could come to grips with it. If they could add a couple of pieces that they really need.
Yeah, I can see it. I guess if this goes down and it seems like it's going to, the question is, why did the Niners wait? Why didn't they do it in April? What changed? And did they benefit from waiting? Or did they botch this? I don't think giving Ayuk all the money he wanted was the right move. And I was saying in April, yeah, trade him. Go ahead. But they didn't do that. They were saying, we want him. He's so important to us. But now it seems like, is it personal? Like you said, did the negotiations go so bad? Was the Pivot podcast the breaking point? I'd like to know, because it seemed like the Steelers knew this was going to play out this way. We kept hearing reports out of Pittsburgh like, yeah, they're pretty confident they're going to get Ayuk eventually. You know, it could be before the draft, could be after the draft. They don't really care. They're not going to offer a first-round pick. They're just going to sit and wait, and they're pretty sure the market's going to come to them. Why did they know that?
I know. That is very, very odd. Considering we're talking about a coveted player, an expensive player, and one that there should be 5 or 6 or 10 teams that would have interest in him, and yet they seemed almost borderline cocky that they were going to wind up with Ayuk by the end of the offseason, as if somebody knew something. So, yeah. There's definitely
like a tampering backstory. Without tampering.
Or there's some backstory here. There's some backstory that we don't know about. That's going on here. I don't think there's any doubt about that because, yeah, I mean, there were people months ago who were saying with their chest, you know, pushed out, hey, he's going to be a Steeler, like really, really sure about it. And I wonder if the 49, if that's because they either felt like they had the cap room or if Lynch made them some promise or if they looked at all the scenarios with the teams that had interest and said, well, the Niners won't trade him to an NFC team. They won't trade him to a AFC team of his choice. They'll send him to an AFC team they want to send him to. You know, maybe there were factors that eliminated some of the other contenders.
And again, what is this connection between Tomlin and Ayuk? Remember, he tweeted at Tomlin early on in the season. This was part, all the things that Ayuk did were a little bit much, a little bit beyond what Debo did 2 years ago. Like people say we look alike, like almost kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say flirting, but you know what I'm saying? Like kind of making it public. Hey, I like you. I want to, and we know that the relationship between Ayuk and Kyle has been strained. I mean, they've been at odds at times. So I wonder, like, we know Ayuk played for Herm Edwards at ASU. Is there a connection between Herm Edwards and Mike Tomlin?
None that I know of. But I will say this. Think about it. When Shanahan was asked at the beginning of camp, hey, do you have a good relationship with Ayuk or something to that extent? And he's like, I've got a good relationship with all of my players.
Mm.
But then he went on to say, but it doesn't mean that it's going to bridge the gap here and that this is going to meet, you know, it doesn't mean that we're going to be able to come to an agreement just because I have a relationship. It was almost like Takiya was telling us there's not going to be a role, you know, we're not getting on the same page. I mean, that wasn't that what Ayuk told Ryan Clark at the Pivot podcast early on? Didn't he say the last meeting I had with the Niners, they said we're not on the same page and we're likely to not be able to get on the same page.
Yeah. I mean, here's the way I understand it. Hasn't it been framed for months that the Niners are going to have to pick between Debo and Ayuk long-term?
Yeah.
Because of Purdy. Right. So we all assume that the Niners would want Ayuk, and maybe their front office did because, you know, he's younger and he's more durable, but we never stopped to think like, well, what does Kyle want? Who would Kyle prefer to keep long-term? And if you think about it that way, I think the answer is obvious. It's Debo. Because Debo is more unique. Debo's harder to replace. They drafted Ricky Pearsall. I bet Kyle thinks Ricky Pearsall can do a lot of what Brandon does. And he's talking about how hard it is to replace Debo when he gets hurt and all this stuff. So I'm sure, I bet Kyle was thinking, all right, well, we just have to sort of make the case to the front office, Debo, that you're more essential to the team. So all you got to do is get in shape, show up to minicamp, show up to OTAs, be a team leader and a captain. And then in comparison, Brandon will look like a jerk. And everyone is going to want to be like, yeah, let's keep Debo. Yeah, Debo's in with the team, and he's not.
It really is interesting because there's two debates. Who's the better player, and then who's easier to replace? And Ayuk is the better player, but Debo's the harder guy to replace. Debo
it takes like two players to replace him. There is no other Debo.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a one of one. I mean, who's even like Debo?
No
one. I mean, they say Malachi Corley, the rookie for the Jets. We'll see.
We'll see.
You know, there's
Cordero Patterson was the original.
Cordero's not bad.
Cordero, but he's not half the player Debo is.
The guy, Laviska Shenault, has a little bit of Debo. You know, he's a kind of thicker. He's a running back. He's a receiver. But I mean, just saying, Debo is a team leader.
Yep.
He's in shape. He's having a great camp.
Yep.
If you sign Ayuk, you are officially stamping Debo as he is playing his final year with the Niners. And while that might be the case anyway, I don't think Shanahan wants to be in that. It's official. I think in an ideal world, he was thinking, I get Ayuk in the fifth year option, and these guys both have great years. We win the Super Bowl, and I take my pick of who I want at the end of the year.
Debo.
That's what I think. And I think he probably would have gone with Debo. But you know, that's
whose number did he call repeatedly in the Super Bowl?
Right. I mean, and Debo, I mean, what was the biggest win for the Niners all year? I would say it was, I mean, you could say outside the playoffs. I would say it was the Philly game. Who was the guy in that Philly game? It was Debo. It was Debo, right? Didn't he have that tunnel screen where he took it to the house and he beat the linebacker on the diagonal across the field? Mm-hmm. Debo was huge in that game. So, I don't know. And then Debo's trained with this, I don't know. I can't judge the intensity, Grant, but to me, he's trained this offseason with tremendous intensity. So he looks, and I don't know about how you feel about it. We even talked about this, but I think he's in the best shape I've seen him in three seasons, four seasons. I mean,
he looks fast.
He looks trim. He looks really good. Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like 5-10 pounds lighter than he has been at times. And he looks really fast on, he's running a lot of like deep routes, fade routes, deep crossing routes. Like he's not the kind of guy who's going to make quick, sudden cuts in his break, in his routes. But man, on a fade or a deep cross or an end around, he gets a lot of velocity generated.
I wonder too, and I'd love to know the reality of this. Do you think that, because there's two sides. One side says the Niners were caught off guard by Trent Williams' holdout. Other people said, no. They've been totally keenly aware of Trent wanting more guaranteed dollars because there's no more on his deal, and they expected him to do this. Do you think that we're at this point now with Ayuk where he sounds like he's on the verge of being dealt? Do you think the Williams holdout impacts this in any way?
I think it does, and I think the fact that I think it'd be hard. It's hard to resolve things with Trent Williams until you resolve things with Brandon Ayuk. So I feel like maybe part of the reason the Niners are like, okay, we're done with Brandon, is we need to move on to Trent. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Trent's completely independent of that. And the issue with Trent is that he wants a whole lot more guaranteed money. And if he were to retire unexpectedly because of an injury, then there would be an unreal amount of dead cap that would really cripple the 49ers in the future. So, you know, McCaffrey got more guaranteed money. Tyreek Hill got more guaranteed money. Clearly, that's what Trent wants. And there are reasons to be nervous about giving that to a 36-year-old who has injury issues.
Somebody's asking in the chat, who's Ayuk's agent? It's Ryan Williams, who is either a friend of Lynch or the agent of Lynch. Is he Lynch's agent or Lynch's friend? But I mean,
agent.
Okay. So yeah, I mean,
okay, hold on real quick. This is from Andrew Filipponi. Has 100,000 followers and is talking Steelers in Pittsburgh. And he was sort of the first person to report that this was escalating this morning. He says, sources, it's not a done deal, but the Steelers are confident they're getting a trade done for 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. Okay. That's the sort of the new consensus. It's not official. It's not done. Nothing's in place, but everyone pretty much agrees he's probably not coming back to the Niners, and it seems like the Steelers feel confident it's going to be them, and they just got to work out the trade compensation and an extension. That's where we're at.
And, you know, I mean, all I've got to say is that, you know, if it's draft picks solely, the fans are going to riot. Yes. And people are going to be very, very critical of Shanahan and Lynch. The only way this is not, they're not going to be faced with an avalanche of criticism is if what they get back for Ayuk is somehow viewed as either, you know, or guys that can absolutely improve their football team right now, and everybody knows it. And that's going to be hard to do. That's going to be,
you
really
asked me again, did they anticipate Trent? I don't think they did, because if they would have, I think they would have drafted an offensive tackle. I think Trent caught him by surprise. And I think that made the Ayuk situation even more dire. Like, we can't mess around with you anymore, Brandon. We just can't. This is so important, and we're unprepared for, like, we're messing around with you because we got Ricky Pearsall. We can play this dance. We've sort of like covered our bases, but we haven't with Trent. He's the whole team. So where do you want to go? We're tired of this.
I mean, you know, this one guy on Twitter, Steelers something, says, this dude really just said that James Daniels, Highsmith, and a day two pick. What is Larry on? Sounds like, I'm not sure if he's a Steeler fan or if he's unhappy from a Niner perspective. If that was the trade, if it was James Daniels, the outside rush guy, Highsmith, who plays opposite TJ Watt, and a second or third round pick in the 2025 draft, how do you feel the fan base would react to that, Grant?
I'm sure they'd come around. I don't think the Niners are getting two players. They'd probably get Highsmith or Daniels. But probably not both. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing. But I mean, if the Niners don't get a player back who's really good and a future first round pick, I think fans are going to be pretty mad. Maybe they'll come around eventually. But that's what I think is interesting. Like, clearly this news wasn't supposed to break today. Someone jumped the gun on this. And now the Niner fans are so upset, they're hoping it's fake news. So John Lynch is watching this unfold and he's thinking, boy, I'm going to get crushed when this is official. What do I do? I mean, is this the kind of thing that could like get John to be like, all right, actually Pittsburgh, I need more. Actually, you know what? I'm backing out. Like, could this change John's mind? Like, this is not a popular move, John.
I don't see the first. I really don't see the first, because I think the first was their price ask in April. And I think if they had gotten that, they probably would have pulled the trigger. You know, I don't know if this is a legitimate, or I know it's a legitimate. I don't know how legitimate. There's a 49ers and NFL News 24/7 site that has 32,000.2 followers. Says that the Steelers, the Patriots, the Browns, and the Raiders are all reportedly interested in Brandon Ayuk. The Niners are talking to multiple teams about a potential trade per multiple reports. So, okay, let's just say, you know, we might as well, since we have these four teams, let's say it was the Browns offering Amari Cooper and a second round pick. Let's say it's the Patriots offering, God, I mean, this would really be sad, but Kendrick Bourne off the ACL and their second round pick. Let's say it's the Steelers offering James Daniels and their second round pick, or the Raiders offering, you know, I don't know, some swap involving Devontae. How would you rank that? I mean, Devontae's 32 and Bourne's coming off ACL and Amari Cooper's 30 and a free agent at the end of the year. What do you think's the most attractive destination if that were basically what they were getting back?
If we're up to the Niners, you'd love to have Devontae Adams or Amari Cooper. But I think what we're seeing is that something was real between the Niners and the Browns. There was something that they may have agreed upon in principle or come close to agreeing upon, and that Brandon does have leverage in the sense that he could say, I absolutely will not sign an extension with Deshaun Watson. I'm not doing that. And that's his, sort of his veto. So the Browns won't trade for 1 year of Brandon Ayuk. So if the Niners, if I'm right, if my guess is right that the Niners at this point are like, we just are kind of disgusted with you. We don't want you on our team anymore. We're good to trade you. And Ayuk's like, cool. Well, then I just want Pittsburgh or Washington. And Pittsburgh makes a good offer. Then they're the team. But then the only team that, this almost feels like an NBA trade. How many football players have actually pulled this off? This is the kind of thing basketball players.
None.
I don't want to play here. I want to go there. And it's like, okay, well, I guess we got to do it. I feel like that's kind of what's happening here.
I mean, I'd love to send him to the Raiders for like Michael Mayer and Devontae.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I would take that. But
it doesn't. I haven't heard that the Raiders are as serious as Pittsburgh or Cleveland in this pursuit. We've heard that Cleveland and New England and Pittsburgh are like have been competing for Ayuk for months.
You can't go with Kendrick Bourne though. Come on, man. Kendrick Bourne. Is older, tore his ACL. Didn't he just sign a 3-year extension?
You can't do that. But they did have a deal in place with New England reportedly for the 35th pick and the 4th pick in the draft this year. And Ayuk said, no, I'm not going to New England.
Yeah.
And that scared off New England. So it seems like the Niners have been open to trading Ayuk for quite a long time. They're just waiting for the right deal.
Well, he essentially, Grant, has the equivalent of a no trade clause.
Right.
Because if he's not willing, nobody's going to trade anything of substance. The Niners aren't going to trade him without a substantive offer. Nobody's going to offer anything substantive without some kind of guarantee that he's going to sign. So if he says, hey, you know what? It's Pittsburgh or the Commanders or nothing, then why would the Raiders offer anything? You know, why would any other team besides the teams that he wants to go to offer anything?
And again, maybe that's bringing it back what to earlier Pittsburgh in our, knows. Maybe it, bringing it back knows. To earlier in our conversation. When we were like, how did Pittsburgh know? Why were they so confident? Why did they wait so long before they really upped an offer? It's like maybe in some back channel, in some tampering, non-tampering way, Ike's like, I'm not going to sign an extension with anyone but you or Washington. And Pittsburgh figured out, well, Washington isn't going to, Adam Peters isn't going to make John Lynch and Adam an offer he can't refuse. We're in a great position here. Just be confident and be patient. That's how it's played out so far.
Let me ask you this, because this is the wild card factor that it's hard to evaluate. But you're in there with me. I'm in there. What's the reaction in the room if Ayuk gets dealt? Is it all predicated on the return?
Yes.
Or okay, you do. You believe it's
predicated? Yes, because what I think is, like, at this point, I think a lot of players in the team would be like, you know what? Good riddance, man. All that stuff you said about Jaden Daniels and those other teams, like, cool. And Debo saying he's not a real wide receiver. We don't need you. You're the youngest of us. Like, we're good without you. But if they trade him for picks next year, it's hard to be like enthusiastic, like, great Super Bowl. Like, you trade him for Amari Cooper, it's real easy to be for that to be like a morale boost for the team. But you trade him for James Daniels?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even,
you know, like, we got a right guard.
If it's James Daniels,
I don't know,
who is basically, you know, yesterday's news because they just drafted a center, a guard, and a tackle in the draft, and they're looking to kind of turn it over to the young guys they just got. They say goodbye to James Daniels, who's on the second team, who's 26, who's missed a lot of games because of injury, and they get an all-pro receiver, and James Daniels is the big, big piece that they're moving. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, then at that point, you're looking at it, it's like, well, Ayuk got exactly what he wanted, and the Niners ended up waiting a long time just so they could get James Daniels.
You know, you asked before why, you know, about why, you know, as far as the timing and, you know, it's taken this long and this and that. I personally think that one of the reasons that this is going this way, I kind of think that in the Niner organization that Lynch gets graded by Jed based on trades, that Parag gets graded by Jed based on the contracts, the Kyle gets graded on the wins. And so they're all very much about their own scorecard. And even though they work together, I think they're graded independently. So like Kyle could be graded really highly and Lynch could be graded really lowly, or Parag.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Graded really highly, and Lynch could be graded really highly, and Kyle could be, you know what I'm saying? It just, I feel like it just seems like everybody's got their area that they have to kind of answer for, and that Lynch is really, really, you know, all about getting value in the trade, and that's what he's about, and that Parag's all about winning the negotiations, and that's what he's about. The more I cover the team, the more I feel like that might be the case.
You're watching Conan Kruger, powered by BetUS. We have a very strange breaking newsy day. But let's take a minute to acknowledge our sponsors, the number one sportsbook
out there. BetUS, America's favorite.
Michael Vick here at BetUS.com. Get it all.
huge bonuses, great odds, a race book, live in-game betting, and a casino. BetUS, my online sports book and casino.
If you're looking for a new book this season, BetUS is the answer. It's got the fastest payouts in the industry, 125% sign-up bonus, up to $2,000 on your first three deposits, fast and easy deposit and withdrawal process, 24/7 personalized service, 365 days of the year, live wagering on all major games, best betting variety in the business, 10% back on your net losses twice a year, and your own personal account manager. Let's make some wagers right now while we have some time. I love the specials. Broncos, yes. Quarterback to play week one snap. What do you think? Bo Nix, Stidham, Zach Wilson?
Bo Nix.
Why?
Bo Nix having a... Well, because he's having a good camp and the other guys are donkeys.
Boom. Simple as that. Okay, Raiders quarterback to play week one. Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell.
I'm going with the Minshew. I don't know why. It just seems like Minshew always finds his way to the field.
Yeah, and I didn't think Aiden O'Connell was that good. Minshew's actually done a little something.
Yeah. Minshew's pretty
Sam
good.
Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy for the Vikings.
I don't like J.J. McCarthy, and I really don't like Sam Darnold, but I'm going to go Sam Darnold.
Yeah, they seem like they're talking themselves into Sam. We've seen a lot of pro-Sam rhetoric coming out of there that's very concerning. Jacoby Brissett or Drake May, week one?
I think they're going to go with Drake May. I think they're going to go with Drake May. Now, Jacoby Brissett is a possibility in week one, but I think Drake May is going to show enough in the preseason.
Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Definitely Russell Wilson. I read an article today that even though Wilson's been hurt and Fields has played well, that Tomlin's giving Wilson kind of the vote of confidence that he's going to be the starter initially, at least.
Okay. Geno Smith or Sam Howell? Geno's hurt.
Well, I mean, I would go with Sam Howell, you know, for sure here. But I talked to a bunch of people up in the Seattle area, and they say that it's Geno's job and that it's going to remain Geno's job. Right. What's his injury? I don't know what his injury is.
It's like a knee something or other. I don't know. I think he should be okay. Michael Mayer, 375 and a half receiving yards, over under.
I'll go over. I think Mayer bust out this year, even though he doesn't have a quarterback.
Who's going to have more receiving yards, Mayer or Bowers?
Bowers for sure.
Bowers. All right, how are we doing? 50? Yeah, I'm going to put 50 in.
Nice.
Nope, 27 and a half for that one. But I'm locking these in. 50, Drake May, 50, 25. They're scared. They're scared that we're right, Larry. They don't want us taking all the money. But we will. Okay, 26 and a half. Placing the bets.
Now I'm staying at a nicer place in Irvine.
Thank you very much. Confirm.
Was it a parlay? Do we parlay them together or were they all individuals?
I don't know. Let's say they were parlayed, but I think it was said seven straight. I have to parlay that next time. Ooh, I messed that one up. But that's BetUS. Hey, I got a question. Are you going to Irvine?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you driving or are you flying?
Driving. With Kev.
I might drive too. Nice.
Yeah. Kev's girlfriend lives down in Southern Cal. So, you know, we're thinking he'll get a chance to visit her.
You're going
to
do a road trip?
Practice. Yeah, a little road trip. Road trip.
Yeah. Road trip. Father-son road trip.
We road trip to the Super Bowl. We drove to Vegas.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. That was about 8 hours.
It seemed like a lot more, but it was such a good time though. Such a good time.
All right, take a lot of supers. All Niners has threatened to run away from home, and now he's going to military school. That's so on the nose. Kles Limperio says, it was also reported that Bia has an unofficial no-trade clause. Have you guys heard this? Is it all true? That essentially means that teams only want to trade for him if he agrees to an extension, which he can obviously say, I'm not going to sign an extension with you. That's the
unofficial part of it. We know for sure he does not have an official trade clause, but you're right. Essentially, as long as he says, you know what, I don't want to play there, essentially he's got a no trade list.
Like, let's say last week the Niners and the Browns came together and agreed on something or came close to agreeing, and the Browns then called Ayuk to tell him and that to try to work on the extension. He could have just not answered the phone.
Right.
Simple as that. No. Hell, Cleveland? No, I don't know anyone in Cleveland. I have no friends in Cleveland. Not happening.
I think you meant this call for Dante Whitner.
Hey, sorry.
He's not here right now.
Yeah. Harold McAllister, if it's not for a first round pick or an offensive lineman, this is a joke. You hear that, John? That's how your fans feel. You're getting a little preview of the reaction right now.
Yeah.
Eric says maybe the Niners knew for a while reason for Rick.
Well, there's no question about, I mean, let's look at this offseason. Look at the offseason. Look at the receiving core. Most NFL teams go with 5, sometimes 6. The Niners have like 12.
11.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners, and they're good too. I mean, yeah, Danny Gray's playing better in this camp. Ronnie Bell has looked good in this camp. You said that to me yesterday.
Chris Conley's pretty good.
Chris Conley is a good player.
Juwan Jennings playing his ass off.
Juwan Jennings. I mean, you got 5 locks, and then Conley, who's a really good special teamer, and then that means you'd be cutting everybody. Tay Martin and Ronnie Bell and the Trent Taylor who you just signed. You're cutting all those guys under the current regime. So I think this, they had a plan to trade a wide receiver, maybe not Ayuk, but a wide receiver this summer. I don't think there's anything anybody could say to me that would convince me otherwise.
I just want to know what they gained by waiting until August. Could have done, usually teams do a deal like this before the draft, but you waited until August 5th. So make that make sense. Maybe August 6th, Matt McEwen, Kyle's emotional attachment to certain players will be this team's downfall. Lenore contract up and they won't re-sign Ward.
I think
Did you hear that? Did you hear Staley call Lenore a charmer today?
Did he?
I said, he called you a genius. He goes, he's a charmer. Yeah, he's trying to work his way on the team long term.
Yeah. I think Lenore's gone at the end of the year because I just think he looks like he's going to have a monster year. But I will say this whole Ayuk thing, in a hard cap sport, it always plays like, do you want to sign him? Of course you want to sign him. He's great. But really, in reality, you got to say, would you rather have Ayuk or Banks, Mooney, and Lenore? You know, something like, whatever. Name whatever 3 players you want. Because that's kind of what the Niners are doing when they're going in these mock discussions about their roster. They're saying, well, okay, we could sign this guy, but we can't sign those guys. We sign those guys, we can't sign this guy. So it's just I personally think that they don't really need any more wide receivers. They need a defensive end. They need an offensive lineman. They could use a safety. You know what I'm saying? They don't necessarily need another wideout.
Yeah, they could use an offensive lineman. Dazza, I don't understand the front office logic. They want to pay Brock Purdy market value, probably $60 million. Don't invest at all in the offensive line. Offense goes through CMC and potentially trading your best wide receiver who has good chemistry with BP. I understand. I don't think you can pay Brock and Brandon. I don't think it's a smart roster building configuration to spend top dollar for a quarterback and a wide receiver at the same time. I think you got to have one or the other. They're too expensive.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Purdy has been privy to their internal conversations, but when I asked him about, the off season, I think somebody asked him, will you get involved? And he's like, oh, it's above my pay grade. I don't get involved in those kinds of things. And basically said, hey, I believe in John and Kyle and they'll find replacements for whatever. But I mean, we are talking about his number one weapon walking out the door, the guy that he goes to more times than not. So you would think that Brock would have a really strong opinion on it, but he kind of deferred to Kyle and John and was like, yeah, whatever they do is fine with me. So I don't know. Maybe he understands that it's directly tied to his payday.
Matt McEwen says, so how can you replace a wide receiver who can't beat press man coverage? You draft one who also can't beat it. Niners logic. Well,
we'll see.
Pearsall's got. It's a little early. I asked.
Did he go one-on-one yesterday?
No. Well, they didn't do one-on-ones yesterday because there weren't pads, but the day before he didn't do it. And I asked Leonard Hankerson, I was like, hey, Pearsall's in 11-11s, but not one-on-ones. What's that about? And he's like, well, you just don't really want to throw him into the deep end right away. So it's like, oh, he's not quite ready for that. Okay. Well, guess he's not replacing Brandon Ayuk just yet.
That's interesting. They feel like
Brandon Ayuk got a one-on-ones when he was a rookie. Like, what?
Yeah.
Ford Life Niners is breaking news. Niners trade BA for Trent Williams. Beatman, Petey Boy, new member. Thank you. Denial says, the F are we doing? The only way to be absolved is to win the chip. Nothing else. Oh, tell Jesse it's pronounced Denial. Denial.
Denial.
Denial.
I mean, this This is what happens. This is the challenge of the back end. The front end, it's like, hey, man, we just inherited the world's worst roster. Yeah, go build it up. That's the front end challenge. The back end challenge is, dude, we got 25% of the top 30 players in the league all on our roster. We got to figure out a way to keep this together as well as we can. And that's the challenge. Lynch has been, you know, trying to keep this thing together. And you can tell it gets to a point where it's impossible, especially everybody's about me, you know, you get to a point, everybody's about me. And don't think for a second that these guys are not, you know, they're wanting their money now because they want to get in line in front of, not behind, Brock Purdy.
That's right. I mean, if you don't have to be an idiot to figure out that you got to make that move right now. Beatman Petey Boy says, new member, hate or debate. I'd hate to see Ayuk leave. I'd hate on him if he left. LOL, but no debate. He will only get better. Appreciate you, Beatman Petey Boy. Great name. Denial says, should have had 3 rings. My ass. Does Kyle hit the devil's lettuce? Well, there goes my teacher convention November trip to Tampa. Thanks, Kyle and John. Tampa.
Kyle did say that. I've been tempted to ask him, and I haven't asked him yet. But he did say on the Kawakami podcast that in his estimation, that his Niners should have won 3 Super Bowls by now. Now, we know, I think we can assume that it's the Super Bowl for 54 and 58, right? Because
they lost to the Rams. I mean, or maybe he feels like they should have beat the Eagles. I don't know.
Should Brock have beaten Jalen if he hadn't gotten hurt? Or was it
the Jaquaski Tart drop?
Burrow?
Yeah.
I don't think Jimmy
Doug
was.
D says James Daniels, 944 snaps played, 1 sack allowed. If we get him out of this, it will have all been worthwhile and help us win the Super Bowl. Let's get it done. Okay, let's seriously consider James Daniels for a second. Let me look him up Sys Data Hub and see if they agree that he gave up 1 sack last year. Yes. And he gave up none the year before that. So he's a solid guard. He is definitely better than John Feliciano and Spencer Burford. I don't know about Dominic Pooney, but they don't know about Dominic Pooney yet either. You haven't seen him in even a preseason game.
Right. And you know, the only thing about Daniels is if you go look at his football card, the one thing that you'll find is that he hasn't played a lot of games. So there's, you know what I'm saying? He's got, let me see if I can find his game log, but I don't know that he's ever played a full season. I think he's missed some time because of injuries, and that would be a concern.
He played 15 games last year. 15, but he played 17 in 2022 and 17 in 2021, but he played 5 in 2020. So,
he has played more than
800 snaps in the last 3 seasons.
Okay.
I mean,
okay,
he'd be an upgrade over Feliciano, who's hurt right meow. Right meow. John Muniz says, if he BA does not like the trades on the table, then why not just have him play on the 5th year? Why give in to the guy who is acting like a diva? I understand. I do think there is something to not wanting a malcontent in your locker room.
Yeah.
I think there's something to that.
It's, you know, the people who are like, let him play on the 5th year option, I would beg to say have never covered the NFL from within in the locker room, because this is not 1977. Players have a huge say. I'm not saying they're partners with the coaches and the owners, but they've got a seat at the table. And you don't just say, you know, no, you're going to sit there we'll decide. And no, players have a little bit more say. And if you have a guy as meaningful to your team as Brandon Ayuk, and he's sitting there pissed, that's a negative thing. And that's not good.
Dre says most likely would be some seconds and James Daniels because his contract is up. No way. We just paid Highsmith last year to trade him. Khan also knows we have to pay TJ, and GP is due, probably a tag. This is clearly a Steelers fan.
Right.
I mean, I get it. It seems like Highsmith would probably be a lot to ask. Also, the Niners have Leonard Floyd. They have a gaping hole at right guard. It makes sense. It's just like, good luck selling that to your fans, John Lynch. Hey, we traded for a guard. Now, guards are important. I'm not against it. I mean, maybe this is the move the Niners need to actually make the right side of their offensive line good. David E says, pay Ayuk $14 million. He's certainly lost the locker room if he's turned down a big payday, so he won't be a dividing source. You might not want a sour face around there. Niner Grandpa says, why don't you debate Niner Grandpa, Grant?
Yeah,
maybe
not?
One day. David, spread my sheets. Lombardi says, is Irvine going to be open to the public? I'd like to chart some spreadsheet. I don't think so, but I will. I don't think so. Joseph Stockbridge, I almost got an Ayuk jersey the day of Brock's official start. I'm so glad I got number 5 instead. Hopefully a solid O-lineman is on the way. Steelers are in a deep D-line division on Bippers. On Bippers, indeed. John Muniz says, if he does go sign our DBs and maybe our starting left guard 3-1 ratio, better for team in long run. You bring up a lot of good points in that very short super chat. Joshua Wyatt.
Can I buy a comma? Can I buy a parentheses? Anything.
I pretty much understood what you meant. Joshua Wyatt says, we said at the time that the Hargrave signing was a trade for Ayuk. This was inevitable. Why does everyone have surprised Pikachu face? I like that. I mean,
the Pikachu.
Oh my God. Look, Chris.
I wasn't into that craze, really.
Chris says, guys, Kabali proposed Steelers send OLB Highsmith and left tackle Moore Jr. for Ayuk and 6th round pick. Steelers have the cap room for Ayuk's new contract.
I mean, I just think that would be such a disappointment. So the Niners are, in addition to giving you their 26-year-old Pro Bowl wide receiver for Dan Moore and your second best rusher, now have to kick in an extra 6th to make it. I mean, come on. I mean, I saw that deal. That was a Bleacher Report deal from a few weeks ago. I was swearing then.
All right, best guess. When do you think this gets wrapped up?
I think tomorrow. I think tomorrow. This gets wrapped up soon. Yeah, I think that, you know why, Grant? Because
the cat's out of the bag.
Well, not only is the cat out of the bag, but also it's go time, man. It's go time.
Yeah.
It's go time for the Steelers. It's go time for the Niners. It's go time for the roster. It's go time. You know what I mean? It's go time. It's enough talking. It's time to put on the pads and start, you know, swapping some paint.
I completely agree. You gain nothing by making this linger. And like, they're going to be, we're going to Irvine next week. They're going to Irvine next week. How does that work? Are you really going to fly him down with the team to Irvine? You're going to find him if he doesn't go? Like, how awkward is that going to be? Like, wrap it up. Wrap it up.
It makes it seem, I wonder if it's awkward. Oh, here's the other thing I was wondering about. I was going to ask you about it today down there. I forgot. Schlereth, who played for Mike Shanahan, just blistered Ayuk for the hold-in. And I kind of wonder, is 10% of that the way the Niners feel? Is he speaking for Lynch and Kyle at all? You know, would a guy
he said
be
it was
that
weak,
close
right? To, he said it was weak, right?
Was
like
weak
you talk tough and then you show up. I agree. Why was he weak? To me, I don't think he understood what Debo was doing. It's like, oh, Debo outflanked me. Debo's in shape. Debo's at practice. Debo's there working really hard. Like, oh no, the organization's going to actually want to keep Debo over me, even though I'm the better player and I'm younger. I didn't see this coming. So he shows up like, no, I want to be here still. I do want to be here still. And they're like, too late. We made up our mind. We're just not sold. We like Debo better, and so does Kyle. And Kyle always preferred Debo, and we had to come around. But now we agree with Kyle. And sorry, buddy, we just don't need you anymore. We had to pick between, and we picked Debo. Sorry.
Yeah,
doesn't that feel like what happened? And Debo had that smug look on his face yesterday. We had that day off. Like, yeah, I did it. I freaking did it. You like that, right? You guys thought I was out of here, but I'm here forever.
I think the Niners want to, you know. This idea that they want to part ways with Debo, I don't see that at all. I don't see Debo wanting to leave. I don't see Shanahan wanting him to leave. I don't see the other players on the team wanting him to leave. I don't know. If you ask me, I think Debo is a fixture and is going to be here well beyond this year.
Kyle doesn't really ever second guess himself. Just a few months ago in the Super Bowl, Kyle featured Debo, not Ayuk. They lost. Ayuk was upset. Is Kyle not the kind of guy who's going to double down and be like, no, I did the right thing? And if that's how he felt in February, then he still feels that Debo's better. And maybe he's in the minority on that one, but I feel like he's getting some support in the organization after Brandon Ayuk did what he did this offseason. So, yo, enjoy Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is an underrated town. Can I just say that? I like it. I would consider it a Midwest town, even though it's Pennsylvania. It's very close to Cleveland, but it's got like rivers and bridges and hills. Any town with rivers, bridges, and hills, nice town.
It's a good hardy town. There's a very, very hardy people. The Monongahela Valley produced what? Montana, Marino, Jim Kelly,
Pat McAfee.
Yeah, I mean it's a solid part of the country. It's a great,
John wants to know, would you guys be okay with a trade for the rookie tackle from Pittsburgh, Fatana?
Yes.
Yeah.
You said that to me in the media room today. Oh yeah, I mean, I would take Zach Frazier in a minute. I'd take Fatanu in a minute. I like Mason McCormick a lot. But James Daniels and a pick would be fine. But I mean, it's got to be at least a two. It can't be James Daniels and a three. It's got to be James Daniels and a two, and preferably James Daniels and a one. If you really look at it, I mean, think about it. I how good is Brandon Ayuk? I think it's reasonable to assume, Grant, that Brandon Ayuk is better than his stats, because they play the 28th pace. They got a bevy of weapons. They pass the ball less than any other team in pro football. And, you know, there's three major factors there that are pushing his production down. And I just think that he's better than his stats. So you better get a good deal, because whoever's getting him next, he's probably going to have not as many weapons. They're probably going to feed him the ball a lot more, and his numbers could be the best in the league. So you better get ready to get a compensation package coming back that represents something decent, or you're going to look really, really bad, and the fans are not going to forget.
Definitely not going to forget. JP Hellahar says, no wide receiver can do what BA does, and the rookie's not ready. See, I think that's where Kyle would disagree with you, JP Hellahar. Like, Brandon Ayuk's very good at what he does, but there are other good route runners who can play the X receiver for cheaper, as opposed to there is no other wide back. It was Percy Harvin. Now it's Debo. They come along like once a generation, and this guy is the best one. And Kyle really leans on him with his game plans and his entire offensive design. So that's just the head coach's opinion. I don't usually agree with Kyle, but he's the one making the decisions, and I don't think Ayuk saw that. Maybe he did see it coming. I mean, hey, look, I want to ask you a question. Look, you're at practice. You're there.
Yeah.
How do Kyle and Debo spend the first 15 minutes while everyone else is doing special teams?
It's like Debo's a coach. He's literally right there talking to Kyle for an extended period of time. What, 4 out of 5 practices, something like that?
Yeah, like so. Just for a little context, the players stretch, they break up, and all the players who aren't super famous and rich do special teams. Then you got the guys who are super famous and rich. George Kittle, he goes over to the tight end coach, and the guy just like throws him passes, just one-on-one time.
Fred Warner. He like linebacker. Drapes himself over,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, just one-on-one. George. Fred Warner, same thing with the linebacker coach. Tre'Davious Ward, same thing with the DB coach. Debo, he doesn't go hang out with Hankerson and catch passes. He's hanging out with Kyle. He's the one player on the team who spends 15 minutes during every practice just chopping it up with Kyle. That's telling, man. I've never seen a player have that kind of a relationship with a coach ever.
Well, and I've interviewed Kyle, you know, on the radio years ago, where he was like, you know, his relationship with Debo is one of the closest relationships he has with any player since he's coached.
Yeah, I asked Debo at the Super Bowl, like, what is your relationship like with Kyle? He's like, that's like a family member to me. We're going to be friends after I'm done with football, and we talk about things that aren't about football. I asked Brandon, like, what's your like relationship like with Kyle? He's like, it's different. It's different. That's my dog, though. But yeah, it's different. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, it's not icy. Like, the relationship with John Lynch seemed icy. With Kyle, it seemed like, we do business. But he's going to screw me in the Super Bowl and I'm going to hate him. Like
Lynch seems like he's, you know, and this is just my perception. I have no sources. I haven't talked to John or anybody. John seems like he's maybe a little bit, I don't want to say pushed out of shape, but maybe a little turned off to some of the antics from my Ayuk's side, and that he's impatient, and John's a straight shooter and high character guy. I think he just feels like Brandon went a little too far in making his point.
He went a little too far in making his point. I think most people feel he went a little too far.
Yeah.
I think his agent probably should have helped him out.
Didn't that handshake, like, people, we were analyzing the handshake or whatever, the dap up the other day. And
they couldn't have kept each other at arm's length anymore. Like they were like, I mean, it was like, usually you pull someone in, right?
Right. It was a lot of people were saying, hey, this is a sign that a deal's close. And I went the other way. I was like, you know what? This looks to me like that, like he's on his way out. And the only reason I said that is because John turned, saw him, turned to him and gave him the quick, like real heavy hearty handshake. But it wasn't a bro hug.
No,
it wasn't any kind of extended hug. We're talking about one of the best players on the team who, according to some, had just signed just agreed to the bulk of a 5-year big money long-term deal. I would have thought John would have been incredibly excited, giving him the full wraparound hug. But no, and I get the sense that maybe what the hug was about was the Niners' stance was, we're not giving in and we're not trading you. And maybe they gave in and said, we're not giving in, but let's keep talking and we will trade you. And I think that is the concession that made Brandon shake their hands. That would be my guess. And that
Brandon trying to be like, hey, man, no, let's work it out. And John was being like, no, we're done. We're done. Yeah. We don't want you anymore. We got to get out here in 3 minutes. Yep. Rafael Flores says, was Michael Crabtree cool with y'all? Not particularly. He says, was Crabtree good with the media? Not at all. But he seemed like essentially the players liked him. I know he was very popular in the locker room. And I had a few interactions with him that were kind of lighthearted that I can tell another time. Hot Fat Guy Club says, again, Kyle John Parag ego getting in the way. Well, you know, that's just a tradition. Rafael Flores got you. Harold McAllister, we are going to dismantle the roster just to overpay Brock. Well, we'll see about that. 808 Niners, can we finally hold KS and JL accountable? This is a mess, and now it's time to blow it all up. So much old and high-paid players. No Super Bowl this year without BA. Well, it's not official yet. Let's see what happens.
I wouldn't say that. I think BA is a great player. But he's not Jerry in his prime. That's not Randy in his prime. That's not T.O. in his prime. I don't think taking Ayuk away from this team changes the dynamic of their Super Bowl chances this year that dramatically. It may alter them a little bit, but it's not like, oh, you know what? They were going, and now they're not. No, I don't see it that way.
Eric says, Grant, do you say hi to Lombardi in the hallway? Not anymore. Not since he said that thing about being the one honest, whatever. Like, no. Leon Sandcastle says, her big brothers, O-lineman and edge linebacker for Ayuk. I like it.
I don't know if I want the O-lineman, but I'll take Nick. Nick Herbig, who played at Wisconsin, an edge rusher. He's a little smaller than what the Niners like. They like their guys around 270. He's more like 250. But he is a phenomenal edge rusher, and I think he'd be great in the wide nine. So, Herbig would be nice. That's a name that nobody knows. Nobody knows Nick Herbig. Nobody. And almost none of the non-hardcore fans know him. So if Herbig comes back, there'll be a lot of Niner fans going, who's Nick Herbig? He's actually a damn good edge rusher. So.
Larry, we got to get out here in 30 seconds. All Niners says, guys, this could be a blessing in disguise. Purdy's true test before we pay him. Mark Salas says, if there is no threat of the Niners keeping Ayuk on the 5th-year option, they won't get nothing. Yeah, well, a lot of times these NBA trades, when a guy picks his destination, the team gets nothing. JP Hellahard says, BA and Debo complement each other. BA blocks best in the NFL. And Bradley Thrasher says, James Daniels and a second-round pick, pay Trent, put Debo, Juwan outside, Pierce on the slot, love Ayuk, but we use Debo more and save money for the Purdy deal. I think that's probably what's going to be what happens. We'll see. Larry, great show. Make sure you like and subscribe to my channel and to Larry's channel. And to check out BetUS, sponsor of the show, sponsoring Larry's channel this year, too. Larry, great stuff.
Good stuff, man. See you tomorrow.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, askmepeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.